going on, Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we appreciate you being with us. We are 2 days away from the Bob's Bar Show, so get your dancing shoes ready, because we got a lot of guests, a lot of surprises, a lot of moving parts, enough so to make Pete the Body nervous, which is the perfect amount, obviously. We've got Badlands Booker, and before we get into the meat of this segment, just a big thanks to Badlands. If you come out on Friday, you'll get to meet one of your heroes. He is one of the great competitive eaters ever. He has competed in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest multiple times. He has set world records for chugging stuff, all types of liquid. And he is showing up on Friday to ceremoniously, not unceremoniously, ceremoniously belch in Mraz's face, then slap him with a kielbasa and push him into the pool as we celebrate the beginning of summer. And Foxy on the Bagpipes will play Auld Lang Syne.
Wow, you finally got it.
And Badlands, we've had to help him along with, hey, can you come here? Can you come then? Can we do this? And he just keeps saying, yes, 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 whatever you guys need me for. So there's never been a more team-first superstar than Badlands Booker.
All-time DA Show Ring of Honor member.
All-time. So Friday is going to be special, and we're at the point where in our group text thread, Pete's getting a little nervous. And again, that just tells me we have just enough going on.
Yeah, and actually, the more people that show up in rent-a-cars, the better, because if there becomes a little bit of a backup and Zach is not parking cars fast enough, I've already informed my mother, Nancy, if she gets antsy, calm down, Pete will park the excess cars if Zach's not hurrying up. So we have found something for Pete to do, park those extra cars.
No, Pete actually was awesome last year, if you remember, as our stage director. He was incredible. People over here, move this over here. He was our on-site orchestrator, and he was awesome.
I mean, on one hand, Pete is made for this event, but on the other hand, this event has made his eyes fall out of his head this week, and that's why he's not here right now.
Yeah, Pete's been out the last couple of days. He had something going on with his eyes, I know.
Yeah.
He thought maybe it was the forest fire smoke, wildfire smoke.
I don't think it was.
But
yeah. I didn't believe that one from the jump.
But we just got to get him rehabbed and healthy, because we need Pete in on Friday. He's got to show up.
It could be his Willis Reed show.
It could be. Oh my God, here comes Pete Bellotti limping out of the fog.
I can't look, we're not giving Pete a round of applause, acting like he's a hero for showing up and checking a couple volumes.
We're not?
No.
If you see Pete dragging on one leg out of a Camry up your driveway at 5:55, we're not giving him a round of applause?
I'm going to ask, what, did he sleep on the wrong side of his foot that he's dragging his leg?
You didn't see him the other day, though. Bad shape.
Fair.
Bad scene.
Okay, he's got 4 days. Let's go. Dust himself up. This is a Super Bowl for us. We got to be there. I don't care what wrestling pay-per-views on Thursday night. Let's go.
He's often not there, though. Super Bowl week.
Turn off SmackDown. Let's go.
Now, he'll be there. He knows how much it means to his legacy.
Does he?
I think so. He wants to meet the people. He loves the people.
Yes, he needs the handshake.
I can definitively say, if I know anything about Pete, it's that he hates people.
Well, he does hate people, but not our people.
Right.
He loves our people.
I can say with definitive, Pete hates our people.
No. So, okay, he might hate them when they're calling or tweeting or writing on Twitch, but when they're telling Pete how good Pete is,
that's
what he needs. That outweighs the hate.
If I see Moist Pork lying to Pete's face about how much he loves him, I'm walking off the set on Friday.
You don't think Moist Pork really loves Pete?
No, and nor do I think Pete loves Moist Pork.
You think they're at each other's throats secretly?
I think Pete, I will just tell you this, Pete gets very annoyed with the Twitch audience. I think he's gone more YouTube. So any of those, that crew, he's not very, very big on.
YouTube is a little bit more friendly.
Yeah.
Twitch is a little bit more feisty.
You got to have sandpaper to be in that Twitch chat. You walk out of there with scars.
Pretty sure somebody wrote on that the other day that Pete shouldn't be on camera. That's how bad he looked the other morning.
I think that was Pete that wrote that from a fake account.
Pete's burner accounts.
Yeah, well, Pete wasn't shown on camera that day because he had so much stuff in his eye.
I was from home. You were from home.
I think he was on camera looking beat up, and someone said he doesn't need to be on camera today.
What, do you look like the Toxic Avenger?
I mean, he did. His like right eye was like slowly melting down his face.
He was Sloth in the Goonies. Baby, Groot.
That's a the last thing I want is an eye injury. That's brutal.
Hey, you guys!
Pete's got to wear an eye patch Friday with a Buccaneer hat. I think he should do it.
In a creamsicle jersey.
Yeah, he should come as the creamsicle Bucks uniforms with the eye patch on.
Arr.
Baker Mayfield. Arr.
Only the intern was here that morning, and when he started to hand me his keys to pay his parking meter, she reached for them, and I said, do not touch those.
Could you imagine?
Don't have sick days.
Could you imagine starting your internship, and you come into iCrud Pete and DA from home?
Sean,
this is not the business for me.
That was the first time she met Pete after we bombarded her with Pete warnings last week.
Pete's got to come in with a parrot on his shoulder.
All ye islanders. I only got one good eye. But I can see that Comrex's levels are appropriately high.
Maybe we can see how fast Badlands can eat the gook out of Pete's eye.
Pete's drinking Captain Morgan all day.
Can we oil boil with Pete's tears?
Wow, look at this. Gabe in Vancouver is taking the gook out of Pete's eyes and oiling up Boyle's peck.
Come on.
Arr, I see the oil and I see the boil.
A pink eye outbreak on Long Island being reported from a radio show doing a live remote.
Super spreader event. Third annual Bob's Barbie comes a super spreader pink eye event.
Steven Severna Park won't stop itching by next Thursday.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, Friday is the Bob's Bar show, but right now we are delivering the final edition of Canadian Bacon.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
God, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
Crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know, it's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA show.
Okay, Mirage, it all came down to game 5 last night in Vegas. Take it away.
All right, Damon. Lord Stanley was in T-Mobile Arena looking to add a line with unlimited data last night. The Panthers took the ice without their best player, Matthew Tkachuk, who we would learn postgame had a broken jack sternum. Raz, that's a bad injury, Raz. Vegas was ready for a rock fight as they got a stone goal in the first period to give them a 1-0 lead. Moments later, Nicholas Hagia, shake it like a Polaroid picture.
White Cloud deep in his own zone, rings it around, Marchessault tips it out, another 2-on-1, Eichel with Barbashev, Eichel right side, pulls to the middle, couldn't get a shot away, now he does, it's loose, at the goal line, another try, they score!
The Panthers were beginning to feel like outcasts, down 2-0 in the first period. Aaron Ekblad put a bad taste in the Knights' mouths with a second period goal to cut the Vegas lead to 2-1. The next goal, though, would be a pivotal one if the Panthers were to save their season. But an ageless wonder, Al elected to make the Vegas crowd go crazy.
Rebound to the far side for Hagee. Panthers back to the neutral zone. Steal at center as Eichel lifted a stick. The free puck to Petrangelo in his own zone. Stretch pass. Eichel is in with a cutter. Third man, Martinez, scores!
Martinez made the game 3-1, and that's exactly why the Knights have him on the roster. 9 years ago, you might remember, Martinez scored in double overtime in Game 5 of the 2014 Cup Final to clinch a parade for the Kings. The night would remain golden, and the party was officially on from that point forward. They would score three more goals in the second period to put Vegas in front 6-1 entering the third period. Chance of we want the cup. We want the A's. We want Brady to play quarterback. And again, of we want the cup. All rained down from Vegas fans during the final intermission. Ivan Barbashev gave the Panthers a hot towel shave when he extended the Knights' lead to 7-1. After two meaningless Panther goals, the goalie would be pulled with an incredible 6 minutes left in regulation. Marky Mark Stone would, come on, feel it. Feel the vibration. It's such a good vibration. Such a sweet sensation.
Bennett looking cross-eye. Stone intercepts. This time he sends it down in a walk ball. And go into the goal. It's a hat trick in the clincher. Mark Stone, the captain, makes it 8-3 Golden Knights with 6 minutes to go in the third period. One in the first, one in the second, and now a goal in the third period, sending the Knights to what will be a Stanley Cup championship.
That would get Mark Stone a hat trick on the strip and put the Panthers out of their misery as Vegas ended their long, long six-year drought as a franchise with their first Stanley Cup, a punctuating 9-3 win. Stone's first hat trick in the Stanley Cup final, the first since Colorado Avalanche star Peter Forsberg had one in Game 2 in 96 against the Florida Panthers. After the game, Vegas head coach Bruce Springsteen Cassidy on these glory days.
What I didn't know right away when I got hired, he says he was going to win the Stanley Cup in year six, and I found out it was year six after I signed. So I said, all right, there's a little bit of pressure here, but here we are.
And here we are, the end of Canadian bacon for 2023. Thank you, Pat Boyle. Thank you, Greg Caserta. Thank you, Carlos Ortiz. And you, the listeners, for a pork season we will never forget. Happy 90th birthday today, Uncle Dick. And that is your Canadian bacon.
Wow. Uncle Dick turns 90 today. Okay. Pete the Body out. Carlos with a K in. What's the Carlos with a K grade? Is that 4.5?
4.75.
4.75. Wow, just off of a perfect 5 oinks. Well, let's dissect this Canadian bacon. Number one, T-Mobile unlimited data. That was good stuff. Also, you're always going to get me to laugh to a Jack Stern impersonation. That was solid off the top. The Hagia? Was that it? Was that a player's name?
Hagia.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
It was not great.
That's what did it for me.
Hagia was a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, that was a stretch. But that's a critique, the negative, few and far between.
Ekblad, bad taste in our mouths. Mm-hmm. Very good. Marky Mark, how do we feel about the good vibrations? That was the song portion of Canadian Bacon.
So I thought that the good vibrations kind of fit into more of a sweet emotion Aerosmith true, performance. True. Like I think we lost the pacing, if that's the right musical term. It faded off of the original Marky Mark version, but I liked it.
Bruce Springsteen Cassidy said, these are the glory days.
Well played.
You liked it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, sometimes we've killed Mraz on, so your play is just they have the same first name.
Like, it is what it is. It's not great, but it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, by and large, a pretty good effort there.
Yeah.
Good effort.
If I had tenths of an oink available to me, I might get a little closer to 5. It flirted with a 5, but like the Hague song was just a little bit off and Good Vibrations wasn't true to the Marky Mark. Who is the female voice on that song? I try to find it real quick.
Well, I don't think it's famous.
Hold on. Let me just re-sing this because you're saying I'm off. Come on. Come on. Feel it. Feel it.
Yeah, this is
feel
all good.
The vibration. It's such a good vibration. Such a sweet sensation. That's exactly how the song sounds.
I would send you back to the tape.
Exactly.
And no,
you know what I mean, in pacing, in melody terms.
No, I think when you did it live, that was better than the original version from you. That was closer to the Funky Bunch than what you did live 3 minutes earlier.
Okay.
But overall, really good. No yeah. real stumbles, no, no real slip-ups. Solid performance. Mm-hmm. Even get an Uncle Dick reference at the end. That's always fun.
Is that your smart Uncle Dick? Is he the...
Yeah, 90th okay. birthday today.
Yep. He worked for NASA.
Yeah. Yeah. He's listening this morning on an Alexa 90th birthday. I knew this Canadian bacon meant a lot to him.
I'm sure it
could be the last one he hears.
Very good.
And the kids, huh? So we're going from kids to great grandpas.
Everybody's listening, man. Wow. We cover all ages.
And Carlos, so the only thing you graded down was a quarter of an oink for the Hague,
yeah. Yeah, the outcast bit. I understand what he was doing. Just the execution just dropped it for like review. But I thought everything else was on par. I wasn't going to be a harsh grader, but I thought 4.75. I thought about 4.5, but you know what? I think he did well overall. The script writing was great.
Hmm. I mean, I did follow it up by saying the Panthers were beginning to feel like outcasts.
Yep.
Like
that part.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we think Pete the Body would have given it a 4.75?
He just texted us, so let's see.
Or would he have given it a 5?
Never mind. He's too worried about himself. I think he would have given me a 4.25.
No.
4.5.
4.5.
He always takes off a quarter on because he doesn't like me, so...
Dan tweets in, Pat Who, the true king, need not guarantee a 5-0 anchor because he just delivered one. Kid in Tuscaloosa at needs a role model. That is the name of a Twitter handle. It's really long. The avatar is a little kid. And the name of the Twitter handle is... Kid in Tuscaloosa at needs a role model. And the handle is at needs a role model.
Yeah. He was your Target Demo Friday involvement recently.
Tears in my eyes from Merez's Canadian bacon. Finally, he is one of America's great heroes. Hashtag Canadian Bay King. Kid in Tuscaloosa tweeted it.
That's who it's for. That's who this was all for these last 2 months. That kid.
Kid in Tuscaloosa is now an account. Timbo Slice tweets in 5-0 oinker. Mazzy Mraz and the Fatty Bunch just crushed it. Good vibrations. Mazzy Mraz and the Fatty Bunch.
I don't like that.
They might be performing on Friday.
And Everywhere Evans says, been listening to Bacon since day one. That was definitely Mraz's best effort. Top stees. Couldn't have asked for a better way to end this year's Bacon. All applause to Mraz. Hashtag the king has returned. Wow. Big applause for Mraz. Big, big applause. And on another note, Dixie Landan says, we've got your punishment for the next year, March Madness. Just get the gunk out of Pete's eye and spread it across a piece of toast.
So gross.
What flavor peep would go best with eye juice?
No. No. When we come back, John Lester's going to join us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Choose your weapon. Peeps with salsa or a kielbasa to the face. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The Vegas Golden Knights are Stanley Cup champions. They've been around for only 6 years. They've been to the Stanley Cup final twice and now have finally clinched it and hoisted the Stanley Cup. For Vegas's first professional team. So very cool for the residents of Las Vegas. Very cool for that franchise. Great ownership, great execution, and just an avalanche of talent that the Florida Panthers were unable to keep up with. Joining us this morning on the show, a guy that has hoisted the championship trophy 3 different times, twice with the Boston Red Sox, once with the Chicago Cubs. Joining us this morning on the show is John Lester. John, good morning.
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. You know, last night in baseball, we had kind of an interesting event where there was the reverse boycott. Oakland A's fans showed up to show that they really care. Obviously, playing in the American League as long as you did, you made some road trips out to Oakland. You played the A's before. How does it feel knowing that there probably won't ever be an Oakland A's coming up here soon?
I mean, it's a little weird. I mean, obviously, anytime a team moves, which hasn't happened, you know, all that often in our lifetime, but it's happened a little bit, and you know, it'll be a different feel. You know, it sucks because there's such good history there. I mean, they've had a lot of good runs out there, and obviously won some World Series, and a lot of great players have come through that organization. So, you know, it sucks, and you know, it's hard sometimes to understand that baseball is a business, and unfortunately, the people have to run it that way, and they're making a business decision, and this is what they're doing.
There are a pair of aging aces in New York with the Mets that have really had a tough time getting on track, Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. Obviously, you were an ace in your time as well, and there has to be a decision at some point of when to walk away. I wonder if Scherzer and Verlander are having those conversations. When you see a couple of guys like that that have won World Series and been Cy Young Award winners struggling, what's the first things that come to mind?
Well, I mean, kind of knowing the ins and outs of the game and the length of seasons and stuff like that and the way your body works, I'm sure they've either dealt with something or they're dealing with something that they're trying to get through right now. You know, the pedigree is too strong between those two guys. They work too hard to have those results all year. I'm sure, you know, I know it's getting a little later in the year. It's June and, you know, and all that. But I think they'll be fine. I think by the end of the year you'll look up and you'll see that they're, you know, it may not be Cy Young numbers like you kind of come to expect from those guys, but you know, I bet by the end of the year they'll still turn in pretty good numbers.
Well, when you're an aging pitcher like that, and maybe you don't have the same velocity anymore, you have to figure out different ways to get guys out. So, what's that evolution like as maybe your stuff begins to wane? So you got to figure out other tools to use in your tool bag.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta make adjustments, right? I mean, it's kind of life. You got to make adjustments in life. You got to make adjustments on the mound and. The hard part is buying into them sometimes, especially if you've got to make them mid-season. You know, when you're in the heat of competition, you want to go to the things that you know work, right? And or that have worked. And when you're making those adjustments that you don't necessarily believe in 100%, you know, it's hard to buy into those things sometimes. So that could be why they're struggling a little bit. Maybe they're making an adjustment that you know, they haven't really fully bought into yet. You know. You know, and two, like you said, I mean, you don't, as you get older, you don't have that 97, 98 in your back pocket like you once did, especially those guys. So, you know, to rear back and I mean, they're still throwing hard. They're still, you know, doing well with their stuff. So, I imagine it's just a little bit of confidence, a little bit of kind of getting their feet under them and get rolling a little bit.
You know, when you say maybe you don't buy into some of the changes that you're making, is that because people in the organization, coaches, pitching coaches, what have you, are starting to tinker with your mechanics, your delivery, your approach, and you're trying to listen to them, but maybe you're not comfortable? Is that when that kind of resistance happens?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on what you're, you know, maybe it's a pitch that you haven't thrown a lot and had necessarily good success or as good a success as, say, you know, like a Verlander with his curveball or Scherzer with this changeup, you know, like it could be, you know, that they want them to use their slider more and they're just not as comfortable with that. You know, I mean, it just could be a number of things. You know, as you get older, your body doesn't work like it once used to. You know, it could be a physical thing. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to, you know, I haven't seen them pitch enough to really kind of break down what's going on. And you know, I haven't really paid attention to give a fair assessment on what they're going through. But, you know, like I said, I'm sure they'll be fine. They're veterans. They've done it a long time. They've made adjustments before in their career. I think, like I said earlier, I think by the end of the year, they'll be just fine.
John Lester joins us this morning on the show. You battled in the American League East with good teams, including the Yankees. But how about this Rays team? It seems like forever they've done more with less. And once again, they're leading the league in wins with 48. And we're now into mid-June. What's your assessment on how the Rays continually do this with such a thrifty payroll?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think if people knew how they did it, they would probably have the same formula as them. They've been doing it for a long time. I mean, I know they started out not so great, but, you know, there were some tough teams that we played against in the East there for a few years. And, they continue to put products out there. And I don't know how they do it. They got an exciting team. They got power. They got speed. They got defense. Obviously their pitching is really good. So I don't know. I don't know how they find these guys more often than not, and they put a good product in the field.
You've got this awesome golf event coming up, the American Century Championship at Edgewood Tahoe Golf Course in South Lake Tahoe coming up here later on in July. And I'm wondering, on the course, preferred drink for John Lester, is it a beer or a spiked seltzer?
More times than not, actually, I would say probably all the time, it's Miller Lite. I'm not a big seltzer guy. I mean, I'll drink them on the beach or whatever, but or at a lake. But more times than not, you'll see a Miller Lite in my hand.
So you're a guy after my own heart here. I love an ice cold Miller Lite, especially on the course. And the spiked seltzers, they feel a little too sweet to me. Like there's only so many I could drink there. Where a light beer, you can crush them all day long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the seltzer is good for kind of a mixed-up, type deal. But, yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, it's going to be Miller Lite.
So, really, the seltzer is a little bit like your off-speed stuff.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to describe it.
Okay. So, this event always has some awesome people involved, former athletes, celebrities, guys you played with as well, a lot of baseball players from your era. What do you enjoy most when you go to Tahoe and you play in the American Century Championship?
Man, I mean, Tahoe is such a beautiful place. I went as a kid just briefly. I had a baseball tournament in Reno, and we went to Tahoe for the day. And so I didn't really get to fully enjoy the how beautiful it is. So our first time going out there as a family last year was great. It was an awesome vacation. And then to add the golf, and like you said, I get to see guys that I played against, played with. Tahoe is really cool too, because it's so diverse as far as the athletes. So you get a lot of football guys. I know there's some big football names there this year. You get the actor side, and you get some musicians out there too. So you get kind of the full array of people, which is really cool, because then you get to meet these new people that you normally in a normal setting wouldn't get to be around. So that's fun, and then obviously the golf. I mean, the golf is why we're all there, and it's a lot of fun to get that competition, get those juices flowing again, and try to play good golf.
Yeah, John Smoltz, Mark Mulder, yourself, Derek Lowe, David Wells, all elite baseball players. Then football-wise, Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen, John Elway, Jerry Rice. You got a ton of football players. Barkley's going to be in there, Steph Curry. So basketball players as well. So like you said, diversity of the athletes. And they're going to have big galleries, over 50,000 expected, so you can go and check it out. Plus, you can watch at NBC. This is July 14th, 15th, and 16th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the American Century Championship at Edgewood Tahoe Golf Course in South Lake Tahoe coming up next month. John, appreciate the time this morning. Hit them straight. Looking forward to the tournament.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. John Lester joining us this morning here on the show. Always good to talk a little baseball now that we're kind of transitioning out of basketball, NBA Finals, at a hockey Stanley Cup Final. And now we got baseball on the docket and football OTAs are here. Before you know it, we'll have NFL camps, college football, summer football camp, and away we go. By the way, we have some amazing efforts being put together for this Bob's Bar show. And people are coming from all walks of life, all dotting the map across the country. Are we definite that, unlike Dana Mechanicsburg last year, nobody's sleeping anywhere at the Mraz household?
I just think, you know, if you say yes to one this year, you have to say yes to all. Right. And with impending storms in the afternoon, it's just going to create an ugly can of worms. So we prefer you get your sleep beforehand.
And if you are going to sleep on the premises, probably go back to the car, catch a cat nap, come back.
Exactly, yeah. And we have family, friends traveling in from near and far as well for this event, so they're going to have to take a little priority on some of the couches and stuff. Some from Florida are making the chance up. We'll see if they get to oil boil at all.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot happening here.
Wow, so we have family coming.
Yeah, the town's a buzz. I mean, it is. You can't even get a motel room right now in West Babylon. No, you can't.
No,
there's only four, so they go fast.
Yeah. I mean, they're at an hourly rate, but nonetheless.
Yeah. If you want to catch what Pete has, book a room for an hour.
Especially where Caserta stayed last year. Who do you think ends up being the biggest performer station-wise? So somebody that works at CBS Sports Radio, who walks out of that as the king for the day? Caserta last year
Boyle.
Was king for the day. You think Boyle?
Boyle, first of all, he's going to be the one with his shirt off at some point. Getting pecked up, oiled up. And I think he's going to be, especially with the Canadian bacon stuff, I feel like he's somebody people are going to be most anxious to meet and talk to.
Gelb's going to try hard, though.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Gelb role here. You know, parking cars, he's being treated as a peasant at the door. I'm interested how this, you know.
In costume.
Yeah.
In costume.
Really good at inserting himself, knows the show. He's going to play the room once the cars are parked. Dressed.
Schwartz is making an appearance again.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And there's an event involving Schwartz that we're not going to, I guess, unveil now, but there's an event involving Schwartz.
Yes. Yeah, and I think there's a potential that we walk out of this thing that was the best moment of the day.
Really?
At least, as it stands right now, it's one of two moments I'm most looking forward to.
Did you guys have, back in school, I don't know if it was event day.
Field day,
yeah, with a series of games out in the, on the football field or the soccer field and the egg races. Yep. Or I think we're going to do one of these, like a field day event with Schwartz.
Is this something different than what I talked to you about?
No, what you were saying.
Yeah, similar. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying, yes. Yeah, I mean, chance to jaw drop. I believe this event involving Schwartz will be something you've never seen before. I can say that.
Are we testing the integrity of his new hip?
Yeah. I don't want to tease anything.
Seems like it, for what you've described.
This, I guarantee, will be something you have never, ever, ever seen before in your life will take place at Bob's Bar, thanks to Schwartz.
And I wonder if there's any type of awkward moments like last year's Shep and Schwartz moment. Do you think we have the potential for any conflict?
Do we know where Jack Stern's going to be Friday morning?
Yeah, we...
Well, I would say this.
You can't disinvite anybody.
Right. No. I would just say this. When you have that many different people and different personalities, the unknown of conflict always exists. It could be Pete and a listener. It could be moist pork and a porkette. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be Schwartz or and Shep. Yeah.
Are the pork butts going to fight the kind sirs at some point?
Yeah. A shoo-be-doo, wop, ba 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 ba.
Oh, little switchblades.
Is it the chess versus the sharks?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh.
West Babylon side story.
Yeah.
I bought all my kind sirs little pocket combs we can fix our hair before we fight.
Like the greasers.
They walk into the room snapping like.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Snapping. Okay, we have our final headline.
Sponsored by HelloFresh. Shake up dinner time with HelloFresh. With 40 weekly recipe options, there is always something new to try. Get 16 free meals plus free shipping with code SKATE16 at HelloFresh.com/SKATE16. Two nights and two South Florida teams watching the other guy win the title. First, the Heat, now the Panthers. 9-3 losers in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final in Vegas. They were the last team in the bracket. They faced the record-setting Bruins in Round 1, but still found themselves playing for the Cup. And head coach Paul Maurice appreciates that.
They gave me a great year of my life, right? At 56, you're going on. I don't have 40 left, I don't think, based on the way I look right now. It was a wonderful gift from those players, those men, to the coaching staff. We really, truly enjoyed our lives this year.
He made the line of how he looks taking what sounded like a huge puff of a cigarette as well. I don't think that's what it was. But it was like, I look like crap.
I got to cut down to this habit.
Last night, Matthew Tkachuk did not play after breaking his sternum in Game 3. He suited up for Game 4, but needed help getting dressed for that game and then felt worse afterwards, so did not go last night. As for the Knights, they win their first cup, becoming the 21st active franchise with one, and they do it in year 6, the fastest by a true expansion team in league history, but the fastest, or not the fastest, I should say, across the four major leagues. The 71 Bucks won the NBA crown in their third year. The Diamondbacks and Marlins won the World Series in years 4 and 5, respectively. Our dear friend Jonathan Marchessault sauced his resume with the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP. He scored 13 goals, added a 12th assist last night. Free agent wideout DeAndre Hopkins expected in Foxborough today. He has already spent 24 hours this week with the Titans, leaving Nashville without an offer. The Subway Series began last night with the Mets racing to a 5-1 lead on the Yankees, but then Max Scherzer allowed 5 runs in the 4th, pulled before the inning ended.
I gotta be better tonight. You can put the camera right on me. I got to be better.
At least he didn't guarantee a 5-oinker pregame. The Yankees won that one 7-6. The Mets have now lost 9 of 10, and reliever Drew Smith headed for a 10-game suspension after being ejected last night for sticky hands. So between him, Scherzer, and Domingo Herman, New York baseball has cornered the market on illegal hands.
And all of them think they got screwed.
I mean, Drew Smith was legitimately shocked on the field last night.
He didn't even throw a pitch.
He asked other people to check his hands because he didn't trust the umpires.
And the umpire saying this is the stickiest hand. We got to stop saying this. This is the go-to line now. Right. Not everything could be the stickiest hand you've ever felt every time you hear this.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. This seems like we've tip the scales into stupidity realm of people getting tossed for stickiness.
Last thing here, the Giants, 11-3 winners in St. Louis last night. Keaton Wynn made his big league debut, throwing the final 4 innings for the save. Wynn is from a town in Iowa with less than 200 people.
Wow.
Last night, his big league debut, he pitched in it the first time he had ever been at a major league game.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. Wynn can't lose.
It's not funny.
That is a great stat. The first time he's ever been to a major league game, he was in it.
He was in it.
Oh,
it's awesome. Let's get stunned.
Let's get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA demanded it. It's the crazy alien story from Vegas.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this actually happened April 30th. We're only finding out about it now. Multiple people in multiple states called 911 this night, saying they saw a green lit object falling from the sky. There is police body cam footage from officers responding to a separate incident that shows this thing falling out of the sky. And then there's the body cam footage from the officers who responded to a 911 call that night from a Vegas family who said they heard and felt the crash and then saw two roughly 10-foot non-human beings in their backyard. And the way you're supposed to see aliens, tall, big eyes and whatnot. The police on the video cam actually said to themselves in the car, I'm really nervous to go investigate this.
Wow.
But they found no evidence of anything that night. The case, I guess, is officially closed. There has been other footage purporting to show these aliens, but that's kind of been debunked.
Yeah, that footage is pretty sketchy.
Yes, but the bottom line is a lot of people saw and heard this thing fall from the sky. So something happened this night in Las Vegas area.
So something fell into somebody's backyard, but there was no remains of what fell?
No, there was a drone shot of like a dent, a hole in a backyard, but nothing can be confirmed as real.
So that's something. I mean, an alien spaceship may have crashed in Vegas. Remember, not far from Area 51. But the alien technology is it can disappear.
Yeah, it evaporates. It self-destructs. No, nothing left.
And that the aliens were trying to hide, but there was a lot of them, observers said. And then suddenly there was only two of them that maybe they could disappear as well. Or one of them said, I was frozen, my muscles were frozen. I couldn't walk closer.
But he could walk away. He said he could, if I backed up, I could get away from it, but I couldn't, I couldn't get closer.
That maybe they have some type of ray or energy field where it pauses your muscles. You can't get close enough.
This is as close as you've got me to like firmly believe we've had something happen. I find this one very tough to reject. Very tough.
I do, too. Because there's a lot of people, and they've gone back to this person's house to keep investigating them and question them four different times. And they're like, these people are not up to a hoax. Like, there's no end game for them, apparently.
Right. They've apparently installed cameras in the area, too, to see if anything, like, comes out of hiding or comes back to retrieve something. So they're believing it to a certain extent, but there's no evidence of anything, of a crashed object, nothing. But so people in multiple states saw something in the sky that night.
Something happened. Epic fail next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic failure.
We dial back 2 years ago to the first Bob's Bar show and the chaos.
We felt bad for Maresh because he was picked last so many times that we ended up having the teachers pick the teams just so Maresh could feel what it was like.
It's 100 years ago you're talking about. Things have changed.
Well, you know, come up first and stand in front of the class. So it's been a long time, but it's still in place, the Maresh law. So we'll go out to class one day and say, hey, what do you want to do? You want to let the kids pick this or you want to use the Maresh law? So he left his mark on it, not for his athleticism, but for the couple of rule changes that we had to make.
Can we get one really loud, really aggressive, having a good time?
We're having a good time! Having a good time! Bob's Bar is alive.
There was an anecdote, though, that hold that loyalty to question at a wedding a number of years ago, and that you had blamed something on him.
I'm very sad to say that is a true story.
And it's bacon and eggs cooking, DA, so we might get act two here soon.
So
no.
So at the wedding, something happened. It smelled stinky.
Cleared the dance floor.
Dance floor cleared, and you said it must be my son.
I had to. You know, when you dance and you jiggle, and you just sometimes just can't help yourself.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
It's awesome that even Miraz's mom talks in sound bites and gray drops. Sometimes you're dancing, you're jiggling, you just can't help yourself. That was when Nancy admitted to the fart heard around the world many moons ago. I mean, Bob's Bar 1 had it all. Bob's Bar 2 up the ante. Bob's Bar 3 coming up here on Friday is just going to be next level ridiculous. So if you can make it, please do. If you can't, please watch, because it is going to be a circus for all. Okay, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Carlos with a K, Ortiz of the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow we'll finish off our countdown to Bob's Bar on Friday morning. So be good and be good to one another. We will see you then. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.